Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our reading begins this morning earlier in Romans from chapter 12, verse 3. Paul writes, "For the grace that's given to me, I say unto everyone, think not of yourselves more highly than you ought, but think in sober judgment, each according to the measure of the faith that God has assigned. For we are in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given unto us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortations, the one who contributes in generosity, and the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." Our Lord has distributed unto his church a variety of gifts. Each congregational member has been given some talent to which they are responsible for. Our portion of the building up of the kingdom of God, and no congregation can achieve those things that God would have for that congregation unless the members put their hands and their minds and their bodies unto the task. Now today, it's Rally Day. We celebrate learners, and by extension, we celebrate their teachers. It's good to learn. It's good to teach. And we should all look forward to that role that we have and when we have the role. Jesus came unto earth to proclaim a specific task. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And not for a single moment did our Lord permit his eyes to be taken off that goal. And many temptations were sent Jesus' way. There were many efforts to divert him from his task, and yet they were never successful, for he gave himself to that one task. Jesus gave himself over to the task that was at hand for him to accomplish in complete devotion, with a holy zeal that was untiring and unrelenting. Now, if we are to be a thriving congregation that has the power of good in people's lives, then we as individuals need to put those particular talents to use. Some of you have great experiences and applications that are needed in the work of God. Some of you have excellent formal training. Some of you have had robust experiences. Some are gifted to teach and others to learn, and some to lead and others to follow. Simply put, some are draggers and others are dragged. What I mean by that is that we have an appreciable percentage of people who are participating, although some do not. And attendance, by the way, seems to correlate with that participation. Basically saying, the more you're here, the more you get dragged into. Right, acolytes? It's easy to be more involved as you become more involved. Now, some people have a hard time being involved. They say, well, I don't have any time, or my interests lie in other places. I've somehow managed to eliminate from your program of active endeavor real work for which our Lord God put his church into. And there's plenty of fault to go around, not just with the draggees, but the draggers. Quite frankly, sometimes we all know it's just easier to do it yourself than it is to ask somebody to do it for you. But these words of Paul addressed to the Christians at Rome should give us pause. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given unto us, let us use them. If prophecy, then in proportion to our faith. If service, then in our serving. The one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. The preacher not act like he is a martyr, for it is his privilege to preach. It's his privilege to teach, to lead a congregation. He should do so. He should do so with joy, and whenever possible, with pizzazz. Granted, it is an imperfect possess. But in the same factor, the member should not feel imposed upon because he has been invited to participate in this or in that. Let all of us work together in a way that reveals a clarity of our hearts and our minds that are bound into the consciousness of Jesus Christ. If we rejoice, it's our privilege to rejoice. If we serve, it's our privilege to serve. If we teach, it's our privilege to teach, to exhort, to contribute, to lead, to do works of mercy and service. These are also a privilege. We're acting as the hands and the arms and the faces and the feet and the hands and the arms of Jesus Christ himself. And all of you know this. I've been here 12 years, and you hear this probably twice a year. But Paul goes on. If we want to be a Christian congregation, which has a full indwelling of the Spirit of Christ, then Paul commands us also to be kind. As we pick up with our reading for this morning, Paul says, let our love be genuine. Let us abhor that which is evil. Hold fast unto which is good. To love one another with brotherly affection. To outdo one another in showing of honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute unto the needs of saints. And seek to show hospitality. There is not great kindness in the world in which we live. It seems to be a forgotten, old-fashioned value. In fact, the world is cruel. It's cruel, it's mean, it's violent, and it's getting worse. People are inclined to be quite inconsiderate of one another. They are self-centered, they are egotistical, they are angry, they are brash, they are loud, they are private, and they are discontented. They are angry. Jesus has a completely different attitude. It's one of kindness. Jesus met with all sorts of people from all sorts of walks of life. He met them all with that very same spirit. His heart went out to them. It made no difference to whether they were a high degree or low degree, whether they were occupied with a great position or a poor position, or whether they belonged to this army of forgotten people. He was kind to the sick. He fed the hungry. He greeted sinners. He spoke to women. Big thing in his day. Let this be our attitude. God has given us a variety of gifts. He's given us life. He's given us education. He's given us eyes to see and ears to hear and kindness to manifest, especially unto those who are in need of kindness the most. Bless those who persecute you. Bless them and do not curse them. The Lord would have you reward evil with good. You would be like the world if you are unkind to those who are unkind unto you. Do not have a spirit of vengeance, he says. Do not be determined to pay back. Do not give back coin for coin or eye for eye or bruise for bruise, for that is not the spirit of the New Testament church. If ours is to be of Christ, then we must learn to repay evil with kindness and blessedness. In the name of him who makes our sins white as snow, in a world we must expect that people will try to avenge, they will try to get even, they will try to do whatever they can to get even or to get ahead, and we must not do it. We must not live life as they would have us live it. They have to do that. We do not. They have no option. They have no recourse. They are bound unto their sin. The church, our behavior must be different. Just as our worship is different from the world, God gives us the ability to bear with one another, to be abounding in kindness and gratitude and forgiveness and grace. If someone says unto you that which hurts you or does something that makes you feel badly, then as a follower of Jesus, it is for you to respond in a spirit of forgiveness, to respond in love and grace. I also need to respond and remember that that does not mean that you cannot tell them of the hurt that they have caused. But after you have exposed the hurt that they have caused, then it is your job to forgive them, even if they do not want to be forgiven. Let it go. I lost my place. Remember, Paul is writing. Oh, there it is. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Now, if we can do that. If we can do, and we're not going to do it perfectly. I know, you know, I know, we're not going to do this perfectly. But if we can, we can certainly outdo the world. We can certainly outdo the world. We are not going to live in harmony with everybody perfectly as the Lord God would have us do, but we can certainly outdo them. And it will be a mark of distinction upon our lives, upon our church, upon our Lord. Furthermore, the Lord says the Christian congregation ought to express kindness and mutual helpfulness. He told this to Roman Christians, by the way. He tells them, these are the Christians who live in the city of Rome to which he is writing this letter. He commands them to be hospitable. We should be given to hospitality. Remember, Paul is writing to Christians in Rome, the minority population who already, as early as AD 49, had been expelled by the Roman Emperor Claudius. He basically said, that's enough. Everybody is a Jew. Get out of Rome. He threw them all out of the city. And the Jews and the Christians were indistinguishable at this time. And so they simply had to leave their jobs, leave their houses, leave the things that they were occupying their time with and simply get out of Rome. Jews and Christians alike were driven out of their homes. They had to flee for their lives. And when these Christians rapped upon the doors of other Christians in whatever community that they had landed in, that the Lord had led them to, the Lord expected them to be received into those homes, the spirit of hospitality. For they were now refugees. Today this problem presents itself, but it presents itself in completely different ways. We do not have outright persecution of Christians, at least not yet. No one comes into our homes in the dead of night asking for food and a night's shelter, but we do have a great many people rapping upon our proverbial doors for kindness, for community. If you go to pretty much any psychological or sociological expert and ask them what's missing in America, they'll tell you it's community. We are losing and have lost our community. We're losing our support. We're losing that mutual understanding that we have within a group, not in physical needs, but in spiritual needs and emotional needs, mental health needs. We want to start a Stephen ministry class in the fall. I came outside this morning, and as I walked outside, it was 63 degrees this morning. I went, oh, it's fall. You know what that means? Stephen ministry time. You'll see that I wrote that in there in my text. I did not mean to turn this into a Stephen ministry commercial. It just sort of dawned on me this morning as I went through my text. Stephen ministry, such wonderful training for listening and talking and having that ear, that hospitable ear of understanding. If ours is to be of Christ, we must learn kindness from Him. Him who makes us white as snow. Furthermore, let us be humble. Paul continues. He says, do not be haughty. Associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Do not repay evil for evil, but give what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with everybody. Beloved, never avenge yourselves. Leave it under the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Our Lord is the sinless Son of God, who had no hesitancy in becoming man. Born of a virgin in the humblest of estates, he was ready to have men spit in his face. They slapped him, they pulled out his beard, they mocked him with a crown, they ridiculed him with a purple garment, they put a rod in his hand that he was too weak to wield. And he died the most shameful death that anybody of his generation could have possibly thought about, death upon a cross, naked and dying in the public square. And he did it because he loved you. Because this was the way to bring peace to you. And not just peace in your life with the Lord God Almighty, but it also, martyrdom, it brings peace to those around us. And not our martyrdom, but the martyrdom of Jesus. Which allows us to see the forgiveness that he has placed upon us, the vast deepness of the debt that we did not have to repay, and then to take the little minuscule debts of those around us and say, let that be forgiven. And he did this because he wanted to take away your sins. He wanted you to be free of your guilt. He wanted you to be free not only of your guilt for what the deeds that you have done, but be free from the shame of who you are, that you might be free from death and sin and hell and society. He wanted you to know by trusting upon him that you could be insured of your entire salvation, that he wanted you to live in his unfailing love, that he would always be at your side, and that you could always count upon Jesus as your friend. Now this one Lord who loves us and whom we love serves as a pattern. He would have us find in him not only the forgiveness of our sins, but also a pathway in which we find forgiveness for others. An example to emulate as we encounter our fellow man, whoever they may be, and wherever we may find them. In God's good and gracious and holy name. Amen.